Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
This is continuing coverage of the case against Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
All right, this is the scenario. You're representing yourself in a murder conspiracy trial. And when it's time to cross-examine the man you allegedly tried to have killed, you realize you don't have any of your evidence because your private investigator isn't answering his phone. Welcome to day two of Lori Vallow Daybell's second Arizona murder trial, where legal proceedings met reality television in the most uncomfortable way possible. Today was supposed to be about Brandon Boudreau, the former nephew-in-law who survived what prosecutors say was a coordinated attempt on his life back in October of 2019. Instead, it became an object lesson in why criminal defense requires actual expertise. But before we dive into today's courtroom developments, let's establish the stakes, okay? Lori Vallow Daybell isn't exactly new to murder trials. She's already been convicted of killing her two children, JJ and Tylee, along with her current husband, Chad Daybell's previous wife, Tammy. This Arizona case represents a different chapter in what prosecutors describe as a calculated campaign to eliminate perceived obstacles. The charges center around allegations that she and her deceased fourth husband's brother, Alex Cox, conspired to kill Brandon Boudreau, who was married to her niece, Melanie, at the time. Are you following along at home? Okay, it's a complicated web, I know. The morning opened with neighbor Lynette Mendoza concluding her testimony about Ring doorbell footage from October 2nd of 2019. Modern technology has turned suburban doorbells into inadvertent crime scene recorders, capturing everything from package thieves to, you know, more serious incidents like attempted murder. This particular footage documented the sound of what prosecutors say was gunfire directed at Boudreau's vehicle, providing audio evidence of the alleged assassination attempt. While Vallow Daybell rose to cross-examine Boudreau, the courtroom atmosphere shifted a bit. She began by probing their family history, asking about birthday celebrations and whether she attended the births of his children. The judge intervened after it became clear that she was meandering through topics that, while personally meaningful, weren't legally relevant to whether someone tried to kill Brandon Boudreau. I was hoping for another recipe. We had the green chicken chili enchiladas. What are we going to have here, Lori? Come on, don't let us down. Prosecutor Trina Kay's frequent objections highlighted the gulf between legal training and good intentions. Each sustained objection revealed another procedural misstep, another question that violated evidence rules, another moment where enthusiasm couldn't substitute for expertise. The most significant revelation came when Boudreau testified that Charles Vallow, Lori's deceased fourth husband, had told him that Lori convinced Melanie that Brandon was gay. This testimony cuts to the heart of prosecutors' theory about how Vallow Daybell allegedly operated. Charles Vallow was killed by Alex Cox, Lori's brother, in what was initially ruled self-defense, but now appears part of a broader pattern of eliminating perceived threats. The allegation about manipulating Melanie's perception of her husband reveals a sophisticated approach to justifying violence. Rather than simply deciding to eliminate someone, prosecutors suggest Vallo Daybell created an elaborate justification that made violence seem necessary or righteous to those around her. This testimony directly connects the current charges to her previous conviction, showing a consistent method of operation. The lunch break introduced new complications when Vallo Daybell attempted to introduce an email referencing whether Melanie had any financial gain from Brandon's death. Kay objected vehemently, warning that this line of questioning could expose ongoing investigations into Melanie, connections to the Tammy Daybell murder case, links to the Charles Vallo murder case, and what Kay termed cult references. The judge's visible concern suggested he understood the potential for this single question to create a legal avalanche affecting multiple cases. Vallo Daybell insisted she wasn't attempting to blame Melanie for the shooting, claiming she only wanted to establish family connections. However, her explanation seemed to kind of miss the prosecutorial minefield that she was navigating. In complex conspiracy cases, seemingly innocent questions can only open doors that defense attorneys spend years trying to keep closed. She's her own attorney. The afternoon brought complete organizational collapse. At 1:47 p.m., Vallo Daybell admitted she lacked any exhibits needed to continue her cross-examination. Her private investigator, holding all her files, had become unreachable. Judge Bursky barely controlled frustration was evident as he rescheduled proceedings and instructed the jury not to draw conclusions from the disruption. The judge's threat to personally contact someone to reach the investigator revealed how far outside normal courtroom protocol the situation had drifted. Procedural legal teams have backup plans. Missing critical evidence during an active testimony represents a fundamental failure of case management that could potentially compromise the entire defense strategy invented by Lori in her head as she goes along. Elizabeth Collins, owner of the rental property where Bordeaux stayed during the shooting, provided brief testimony about property details before the court adjourned early at 2:36 p.m. Her straightforward testimony stood in stark contrast to the day's earlier chaos, offering a moment of procedural normalcy to an otherwise disrupted proceeding. Today's proceedings illuminate several crucial aspects of this case beyond the immediate courtroom drama. The testimony reveals the sophisticated nature of what prosecutors describe as Vallo Daybell's manipulation tactics, rather than direct threats or obvious coercion. The alleged approach involved psychological manipulation, designed to make violence seem justified or necessary. The religious dimension adds another layer of complexity. Vallo Daybell and Chad Daybell allegedly claimed to receive divine revelations, identifying people as spiritually dark, essentially making them or marking them for elimination based on supposed supernatural guidance. Brandon Boudreau represented a specific type of threat within this belief system. As someone married to Melanie but skeptical of the religious ideology, he potentially stood between his wife and full participation in the group's activities. The doorbell footage represents more than just evidence of the shooting incident. It demonstrates how modern technology has fundamentally changed criminal investigations. Prosecutors no longer rely solely on witness testimony, which can be challenged or questioned. Digital evidence provides objective documentation that's much harder to dispute in court. Daybell's decision to represent herself creates a fascinating legal dynamic as well. In her Idaho murder trial, experienced defense attorneys mounted a vigorous defense despite her ultimate conviction. Or did they? Her choice to proceed pro se in Arizona suggests either misplaced confidence in her innocence or a fundamental misunderstanding of legal complexity. The prosecution's approach appears methodical and systematic. Each witness adds specific elements to their conspiracy narrative. Bordeaux establishes victimization and motive. The neighbor provides evidence of the actual shooting. The property owner confirms location and circumstances. This building block approach allows prosecutors to construct their case incrementally while avoiding overwhelming the jury with too much information all at once. However, Daybell's cross-examination strategy lacks any sort of methodical precision, her questions about family relationships and religious matters might theoretically support defenses related to motive or state of mind, but without proper legal framework, they often appear unfocused or irrelevant to the specific charges that she faces. The organizational failures highlight fundamental challenges facing any pro se defendant in complex criminal cases. Successful criminal defense requires extensive preparation, detailed organization, and comprehensive knowledge of legal procedures. Understanding what questions to ask is only the beginning. Knowing how to ask them in a legally permissible way, how to introduce evidence properly, and how to navigate countless procedural requirements demands professional expertise, and Lori ain't one of them. It was another day of failures in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. What happens next? Well, that's anyone's guess. Let me know in the comments what you think about today in the land of Lori Vallow Daybell. Be very interested to hear it. Oh, yeah, and she got kicked out of the courtroom today, too. So there's that. You can't make it up. You really can't make it up. All right, tell me in the comments what you thought about today's trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.